From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, delivering the essentials for everyday life in the last frontier. Learn more at matson.com/Alaska.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Salmon bycatch has been a flashpoint for years. Now the group that oversees Alaska's federal fishing grounds is finally expected to make a decision regarding chum bycatch in the trawl fishery at its meeting going on this week and next week. KUCB's Theo Greenlee reports that un-Alaska leaders worry the decision could threaten the pollock industry that underpins the island's economy.
The Unalaska City Council took up the issue of salmon bycatch at its two January meetings, ultimately agreeing to support industry-run bycatch avoidance programs. City Fisheries consultant Frank Kelty warned council members that proposed limits could have major consequences for the community.
This is one of the most important items in the last few years.
Regulators are weighing whether to impose stricter limits on chum salmon bycatch in the pollock fishery. The decision will be made next month by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which oversees federal fisheries in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands. Kelty told council members that the pollock bee season, which accounts for about 60% of the annual pollock harvest, is particularly at risk. He pointed to one proposal that would cap incidental catch of chum at 100,000 fish. Kelty said under that scenario, the pollock bee season would have shut down early in 11 of the past 12 years. That, he said, would ripple through Unalaska's economy, affecting processors, harvesters, city revenues, and support businesses.
As you know, the politics of bycatch have been front and center in the state for many years.
Trawl boats use large nets to scoop up a specific species of fish, but they often catch other types of fish called bycatch. It's been a hot-button issue for decades and taken on new urgency as salmon returns to western Alaska rivers have collapsed in recent years. Runs on the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers have reached crisis levels, forcing repeated closures of subsistence fisheries that native communities depend on for food. At the same time, the Bering Sea pollock fleet continues to catch, and often discard, chum salmon as bycatch. In some years, the fleet has caught more chum salmon than subsistence users along the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers are allowed to harvest, fueling anger and frustration. But genetic testing indicates that only a portion of chum salmon caught as bycatch originates from those western Alaska rivers, while most comes from hatchery fish from Asia or stocks from outside the region, including the Gulf of Alaska and Pacific Northwest. Still, communities in western Alaska have argued that controlling bycatch is the simplest fix for a complex problem. Kelty says it's important to have Unalaska's interests represented at the fishery meeting, where a large number of interest groups are expected to testify.
We're going to have a large amount of testimony at the North Pacific Council from many groups in Western Alaska that would like to see strict alternatives placed on the pollock fishery, and I'm very concerned about that.
Caitlin Yeager is the executive director of the At-Sea Processors Association, an industry group that represents the catcher-processor fleet in the Bering Sea. She told Unalaska City Council members that the fleet is already making strides to reduce bycatch in areas where Western Alaska chum bycatch is likely, and that hard caps on trawlers would be disastrous for processing communities like Unalaska.
And that means that vessels are tied up at the dock, our processing lines are empty, you have fewer deliveries, and this is an echoing shockwave throughout the community.
Yeager said the At-Sea Processors Association favors targeted tools like time and area closures and real-time genetic testing over hard caps. That's another suite of proposals under consideration by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
We need to maintain a degree of flexibility to adapt and continue these improvements without shutting down the fishery and shutting down coastal economies with it.
The Unalaska City Council ultimately passed a resolution that supports bycatch rules that don't shut down the fishery. Reporting from Portland, Oregon, I'm Theo Greenlee.
The city ultimately passed a resolution that supports bycatch rules that don't shut down the fishery, and they filed it as public testimony with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council for its meeting going on now.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The amount of Pacific cod fishermen can harvest in the state-managed fishery around Kodiak Island is slightly down this year by about 6% compared to last year. But the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says that quota is not based on the latest stock assessment data, which indicates the number of Pacific cod in the Gulf of Alaska is increasing. As reported by KMXT's Davis Hovey, in December, the department announced a harvest level of 5.3 million pounds of fish for the Kodiak area. Last year's quota was 5.6 million pounds, and in 2024, the guideline harvest level was about the same. Nat Nichols is an area management biologist with the department in Kodiak. He says when the federal government shut down for a record 43 days last fall, that prevented the 2025 Gulf of Alaska Pacific cod stock assessment from being finalized. He says the state and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council rely on that stock assessment for setting the harvest levels for both the state and the separate federally managed Pacific cod fisheries.
The assessment was not completed because the people that are supposed to be working on the assessment weren't working. So the council adopted, essentially rollover quotas, and that's why we're getting, very similar quotas to last year, even though the survey indicated that they found more cod.
Nichols is referring to the Gulf of Alaska bottom trawl survey that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration conducts every 2 years. Despite staffing cuts to the federal agency last year, NOAA was able to do its biennial bottom trawl survey in the Gulf of Alaska last summer. That survey gathers data on the health of the Pacific cod population, among other things. Nichols says last year's federal survey data and some information Fish and Game collected during its annual Tanner Crab survey last summer all show Pacific cod stocks increased by about 40% since the last stock assessment in 2023.
The main takeaway is that we saw a similar increase in our survey as in the federal survey, so just all indications are that the cod stock is rebounding.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council said in an email that the council plans to review the latest Pacific cod stock assessment at its meeting being held this week and possibly update its Gulf of Alaska harvest specifications for the current season. Although that is for the federal fishery, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says if federal harvest levels are revised, then the department will also issue updated harvest levels for the Pacific cod fishery in state waters. Nichols says it's too early to speculate how the council's deliberations will impact this year's Pacific cod fishery in state waters around Kodiak Island, but an increased fish population tends to result in a higher harvest level.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Daily halibut catch limits for unguided recreational fishermen in Alaska will remain the same this year as last year. That's after the International Pacific Halibut Commission took no action on a proposal that would have reduced daily catch limits for those fishermen. As reported by KMXT's Davis Hovey, the commission received a record number of public comments, 935, ahead of its four-day meeting last month, and most were opposed to the proposal. But the commission decided not to take action on the proposal and instead sent a letter to a different regulatory agency asking them to take a deeper look. The proposal, which was submitted by a Seattle-based fishing association, sought to reduce unguided recreational anglers' daily catch limits in Alaska from 2 halibut to 1 across all International Pacific Halibut Commission regulatory areas. The International Commission said at its meeting last month that the unguided sport harvest of halibut in parts of Southeast increased from 900,000 pounds in 2024 to 1.4 million pounds by the end of last year. In its letter to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, the Commission attributed the increase to the unguided bareboat fishing sector. Since the Council deals with more management and allocation concerns, the International Pacific Halibut Commission suggested that the Council consider measures to, quote, improve management and catch data collection for the unguided recreational sector, end quote. The Council is not required to take any action on this issue, and it's not on the agenda for the Council's meeting later this week. So, while the Council could potentially consider the International Commission's request, daily catch limits for unguided recreational fishermen in Alaska remain at 2 halibut per day in South Central and 1 per day in Southeast.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.